Welcome to Investing in You, hosted by Eric Gamelli, the market forecaster who predicted the crash of September 11th in writing in his newspaper column. Eric is the author of the book, The Pattern of Life, How to Make Money in Any Market. Eric is speaking on a cruise this June and invites you to come along to learn the two patterns that predict every market turn. Now, with his irreverent look at markets and money, here's Investing in You.
Hi, folks. This is Eric Gamelli. Welcome to Investing in You. I'm your host, Eric Gamelli. In the studio with me is Christopher Smith.
Howdy.
And our guest, Trent Klein. Trent is the owner of Colorado Financial Education. He's one of our show sponsors, and he's also one of my really successful clients. He'll talk later in the show about how he's literally had triple digits following the recommendations in my newsletter. I'd like to suggest people grab a pen or a pencil. There's going to be information in the show that you're going to want to write down. Just for instance, one of the recent stock picks I mentioned was made 19% already in just about 2 or 3 weeks. So sometimes that stuff slips out. We are a show based on patterns. We talk about the investing rules. Trent has learned those rules. He also teaches getting out of debt. He uses a debt Armageddon system. That's my own name for it.
I like it.
Good. Saves people $3,500 a year or more often. And he has a lot of personal success using the rules that I teach. We are bumping Ray Lucia during this hour. You're used to hearing Ray Lucia during this time frame. And he does something very different than what we do. We are technical analysts, so we do everything off of the charts. Ray and people like him do fundamental analysis, and that spends a lot of time looking at what the economy is doing, what the dollar is doing compared to the euro, what housing starts are. Frankly, I used to correspond with one of the Federal Reserve Board members he was the head of the Chicago Bank, Stephen Anderson. And Stephen has degrees from University of Chicago and Harvard, and you almost need that in order to fully understand, fundamental analysis and the effect it has on the economy. And it works. It's just one of the things he said is you can't be an effective trader. You can't nail turns down to, a day or even a couple minutes like we do by using fundamental analysis. Technical analysis does. So there's a little bit of difference there. You'll be learning that, in the coming weeks. Last time we talked about the advantage of following the rules. Just so there's investing rules. If you understand them, you have a better chance of making money in the markets. We talked about the simple idea that if you plant tomatoes in the fall, when it's snowing, you're not likely to get a very good crop. You have to plant in the spring. And it's just a simple analogy to help people understand there's times to invest and times to either be out of the market or bet on the fall. So following the rules is absolutely critical. Chris is a client. He's a past client, has had good success with this too. Chris, just real quick, how have you done with it?
Well, my best success in trading after I met you was being able to double my account twice in a week.
Holy cow. That's fantastic. I didn't realize it was such a short time frame. Good job. And Ralph Young was our guest last week, and he mentioned how he did better trading 1% of his account than professional investors did with 99%. He traded $5,000. The pros were doing $500,000, and he made more than they did. So knowing where the turns are and then knowing what to do about it is just a lot of fun. So I'd like to point out that it's a reason for hope. A lot of people are behind. Forbes magazine says you need $2 million or more. Some recent numbers I've heard by financial planners is more like $2.5 million. So most people just don't get there. And this is a reason for hope, because when you can start doubling your money, I mean, Chris, that was just phenomenal success that you had. And I would say that's probably unusual. I think Ralph is unusual.
It was a pretty intense week. I mean, I was on my account probably 5-6 times a day during that week. So it was, it's not like, you can just go and make a couple of trades and go play golf and double your account twice in a week.
Not doing it the way you did. But most people have a life, and I expect that out of my clients. But 40, 50% a year, if they double their money every other year, they're on their way. So, Chris, last time you gave us some examples of some of the math that applies to the patterns. So we primarily teach patterns. We watch basically two patterns, but there's some math involved. There's turns that happen at certain ratios. They're called Fibonacci ratios.
Mm-hmm.
You talked about some last time. Maybe just real quick review either what you saw last time, or you might have found some new ones since we talked last.
Some of the percentages?
Yes.
Well, today I just basically wanted to cite the three main percentages that you look for in charting turns, rally, fall cycles. Those are usually 38.2%, 50%, and 61.8%. And
so what he's saying is, when something moves, we always look for threes and fives. When there's a five-wave pattern, so you've had the whole move. If you go back, say, 7 years with Apple, for example. So this would be a good example of having a pen in hand, you know, or close by. Go back and look at the Apple chart for 7 years, and it did a perfect five waves, and then it started falling. And I'd have to pull it up real quick, but it bounced on one of the Fibonacci's. So, and that's what he's saying. It bounced at a 38% or a 50% drop. Mm-hmm. I think it's only 38% at this point. It rallied and now has broken through that. So, keep
going. It's not exactly 38%. I mean, it's not like you can pinpoint this thing with, you know, extreme accuracy, but...
Sometimes you can.
Well, you can.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Well, just take, for example,
There's a margin of error, but at about 38% is when you can make a reasonably good judgment and say this is a time to get out or get in, depending on your position at the time.
And personally, I never trade just off of Fibonacci's. That's what Chris is talking about.
Right.
But if the pattern runs out at a Fibonacci, your probability of a good trade is higher. So I kind of interrupted you there. So
no, that's fine. I was actually done. Make sure you're paying attention, folks. There will be a test.
Did you have other examples of Fibonacci's? I think you were talking about rabbits.
Well, they're everywhere. Oh, yeah, the Fibonacci rabbits. Back in, 1202 is one of Fibonacci's earliest findings about the sequence that he discovered. Multiplying rabbits, you'll have one pair, then three, then five, then seven, and onward, and onward, and onward, and onward. But the point of that is that... what I find so interesting about this particular analysis of patterns and natural systems is that you really do find it everywhere, and that answers the statement that you can't really predict the stock market. Well, you can, because the stock market is just a pattern, just like anything else. Other examples would be the distribution of tree branch heights, seashell patterns, flower petal patterns, pine cones, pineapples, even the flight patterns in bees as they're running around harvesting honey. You can see those same numbers as well, and of course in higher ratios, 38, 50, and 61. So that was basically what I was talking to you about before the show.
Well, and I just pulled up the Apple chart, and I can't find what I was looking at, so it must have been a different one. But you can go back, for example, on gold, and gold had that rally last year, and then if you go back looking at the places it bounced, since then, it bounced like six times on the Fibonacci numbers. In fact, these things have become so prevalent, all the major online brokers in their trading platforms include Fibonacci ratios. So it used to be I had to draw these things out. I would print the chart, I'd have to measure it, and then I had to draw my lines, and now I can click on them at the top, click on the bottom, and it drops the lines in. So, Chris, maybe a good summary is where I just put an arrow on our talking notes. It's what you were talking about last time. But the point here is that you absolutely can predict movements.
Well, the point there is that you absolutely can predict movements, like you said, in the stock market. It's not random by any means. It may look random, especially to the untrained eye, but it is a natural system because it represents the buying and selling behavior of an entire market. So anyway, we were talking about Fibonacci. There's also patterns that Leonardo da Vinci found, like called the golden ratio. There's bell curves are found everywhere. There's staccatic patterns. There's all kinds of stuff that you can see. You can drive yourself nuts with these patterns, but the point is, the more you study them, the more you can see that you really can predict the activity in the market.
You've read some of my book. Would that help people understand the basics?
Absolutely.
So you talked about stochastics, and there's 250 different tools that people use. You can drive yourself mad, as you just said.
Yeah.
I always warn people, get the count right, and you'll have, you know, you don't have to look at those hundreds of things. Sometimes your opportunity's over by the time you get that figured out. We are back, and we are here with Trent Klein, the owner of Colorado Financial Education. Trent is one of our sponsors, so you can always find more information on him at our website, market4caster.com. So you just type in market4caster.com. Trent, I know you're going to have good stuff for us here, so why don't you give your phone number once so people can take it down. And
all right. Phone number is 303-548-9953.
Perfect. You do something that I call the debt Armageddon. I think of you as the get out of debt guy. I know you do a lot more, but tell us a little bit about, you know, how that process works and, you know, results that you've seen.
All right. I'll start with one result that I had just a couple months ago with one of my clients. She came to me, you know, massively in debt. She had no idea what she was going to do.
Which, by the way, is the state of most of America.
Right.
So, I mean, I just want people to know there's no judgment when they come to you. It's just this is where people are. And, in fact, I just referred a photographer to you yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
But this is very common.
Absolutely. I mean, I see it all the time. You're not going to surprise me with anything that you have in your history. So, I mean, back to my client that I had. She, you know, her credit was shot with all the debt that she had accumulated. She had credit card with a $13,000 limit, and she had $13,000 on that credit card. So what we can do for her, you know, I know a lot of different lenders. I know where to go based on your credit score, based on what your history is. For her, we refinanced some of her debt into a little debt consolidation loan. The rest of it, we used a technique that, around the business we call paycheck parking. Basically, you park your paycheck into your credit card, and that scares a lot of people, saying, hey, I still got to pay my bills. It's easy to get the money back. So from there, she's going to take her credit card, and she's going to pay off all of her bills. So at this point, we're saying $5,000 onto that credit card. So basically, in 1 month, we took her credit card usage from $13,000 on a $13,000 limit, and we brought it down to zero.
Wow.
So that first month, her credit score shot up 70 points. We refinanced every single debt that she had accumulated, her car loans, her other personal loans, store cards, and even her mortgage. And her first year, we're going to save her $5,000 just on interest payments through her debt. I mean, that's a really small example of what we do with her. That was one day out of a four-day class that I take all of my clients through to start with. So the results we're seeing are astounding, and there's a lot of bad information out there that's going around right now. I'm not going to mention any names, but I'm sure you've seen their bookshelves being on books on the shelves, Amazon, wherever else. And we're just trying to get rid of that bad information.
Well, I love that. King Solomon said, you know, knowledge is a piece of wisdom. So if you want to make wise choices, you have to know the right things and then act on them.
Absolutely.
Well, what makes you different? So you're not just like a... You're not these people who just are renegotiating with the.
Absolutely. I am not a debt settlement company. And if you're ever contacted by a debt settlement or you hear that, you know, that stuff can be very damaging to your credit and also to your future. So that is not what I do. In addition, you know, I'm not a financial advisor. I'm not motivated by any commissions, be it through financial products, insurances. That's not where my paycheck comes from. So it's not what motivates me. So that's kind of what makes me different is I'm really motivated to get you the results that you need. One of my favorite quotes that I get is feedback is the breakfast of champions. All the feedback that you're going to get is what's going to motivate you to keep going, and that's also what motivates me, seeing the results in your financial situation.
That sounds like me with a chart. You know, if I have a chart, then I can tell you what's going on, at least a lot of times. You know, I have friends that have masters in business. You know, they have an MBA and a systems-based approach to business. They manage. You have to monitor something so you can manage it.
Absolutely. Yeah, with debt, the hard part about debt is it's so emotionally based with people that it's hard to think rationally about it. So if, once you put systems into it and people start seeing results, it kind of takes away the emotion and you can start seeing more concrete results and getting you where you want to go.
Right. So what is the result? What you know, how much are the average people saving through your class?
My aim for every single person is to save them $300 a month through those methods and other methods that I have. So put that in perspective, that's $3,600 a year. You know, what are you going to do with $3,600 a year?
And are you ruining people's lifestyle by doing that? Do they have to cut out their, you know, Starbucks habit or?
Absolutely not. That's kind of one thing that I refuse to talk about is Starbucks and those bad habits like that. You know, I'll show you its effect on you, but I'm not going to sit there and scold you for having a cup of Starbucks. You know, I got a couple bad habits myself, but that's not the bigger picture. You know, just with one lady moving her money around, we saved her $5,000 a year. That is a lot of Starbucks. And, you know, you see better results through different methods.
Let's go back to your bad habits. Could you share some of those with us?
Not radio appropriate.
Okay. So anyway, don't you have a guarantee?
Yep. Money back guarantee. No matter what, if you're not happy with what happens during the class, you can have your money back. And, you know, if you want to go onto my website, you can actually see that contract. It's two lines spelled out just as I said it. There's no hoops to jump through, none of that. If you're not happy, my reputation is the number one thing.
What is your website?
ColoradoFinancialEducation.com.
Okay. And give us your number one more time.
303-548-9953.
So what makes you different? You know, just there's other educators out there. What's unique about your program?
Absolutely. Another one of my favorite sayings is there's never an always in personal finance. A lot of people will say, this is how it has to be every time. Well, everybody's different. You really got to look at your personal situation. So, you know, if you're reading somebody's book or you're reading their blog page or whatever, that advice does not always apply to you, but they have to make it seem like it does. So all of my classes that I do with my clients are one-on-one. It's about your personal situation only, and there's tons of different ways we could go with that. I'm not just a debt guy. We'll move into investments as well, and it really depends on your personality for where we go from there.
What is the right investment right now? What do you think the best thing is going?
Well, second to you, Eric, the best the best investment is education.
Yeah,
and that's pretty simple.
What's your goal or aim for your clients?
400% return on every dollar you spend with my firm.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, try getting that from your closest mutual fund. Yeah, 400%.
Yeah, that's ideal. What, do you want to share your fee?
Sure. My fee is $7.99. It's a four-week course, 1 hour a week. And it is truly one-on-one or one-on-a-couple. And we talk about everything. We start with the foundation, debt, budget, credit, and then we move into investments and what personally interests you.
Cool. Tell us another success story.
All right. I'll expand on the one before. You know, we saved them $5,000 a month in their debt. In addition, you know, we freed up that cash flow in order to buy them a rental property. That's something that interested them. She's a stay-at-home mom, and she is a great property manager. So we freed up $200 an additional cash flow from profit from the rental property. That's after covering for all expenses, putting money away, mortgage, insurance. So an additional $200 on top of the $5,000, their return on investment was easily above 400%.
Good. Give us your website again and your phone number, your contact.
Absolutely. So just visit ColoradoFinancialEducation.com. A lot of my viewpoints on debt are on there, and if you are interested in, you know, just talking with me about my personal debt philosophy, give me a call, 303-548-9953. Really simple. I love talking about, you know, different ways that money can be used to reach our goals, because money is just a tool in the end.
Yeah. the photographer I just introduced you to, Trent, he and I were talking yesterday that financial education isn't part of our system now. You know, the high schools don't cover that. So it's kind of unusual. I actually met a guy who's 35 years old, and he didn't know how to balance his checkbook. He didn't even understand the whole principles and things involved in that. So anyway, I'm glad that you have those, teach people those basics. And I'm kind of a center for financial information. If people need to contact you, they can go to marketforecaster.com, and I'm happy to introduce them to you or people that fit other needs. So we'll be right back after this. Folks, welcome back to Investing in You. I'm Eric Gianelli, your host, along with Christopher Smith, my co-host. And in the studio today is Trent Klein, the owner of Colorado Financial Education. Trent is a past client. He's just recently completed his first year with the trading system and training that I do. Trent, before you started working with me, had you had much experience trading stocks?
I had a little bit of experience. I actually bought my first stock when I was 12 years old, just, you know, it was actually a share builder type account. Really simple, just a single stock. I think I've maybe put $50 into it. So very, very limited.
Oh, that's neat. So you had an early interest in investing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I kind of find that happens. People take an early interest and just kind of keep going. So tell us, I also trade options. You've traded some options. Had you done any of that before? Before you and I met?
No, I had not. Options were very much introduced to me by you.
Okay. How well did you do, last year?
So I started with you, 2 Decembers ago.
Right.
So at the end of last December, my account, based purely on your trading, was up 160%.
Wow, that's fantastic. And did you even trade in the first December? Because often Christmas is a kind of a lousy time.
Absolutely not. I was actually still trading with virtual money, trying to make sure you were the real deal, if that's what you want to call it.
Oh, good. So did I pass the test?
You did.
Good. I'm glad to hear it. What you just said, you made 160% in really less than 12 months because you were paper trading to start. Probably didn't trade much, the second Christmas. So, there's a lot of professionals who, they've got 6 screens in front of them. They're sitting there all day long. They're using all that fundamental analysis that we talked about earlier, and they can manage to put together a 10% profit.
Absolutely.
And you did what they, it might take them a decade or more figuring in compounding to do what you did 1 year. So did we take crazy risks?
No, that's actually one of the things I love about your program is there's not much risk involved. It is riskier than other options out there, but you yourself encourage, trading with stops if you're using ETFs or stocks of no more risk than 10%. So at any time, you can't lose more than 10% of your portfolio if you're trading the right way, which is really important. Another thing I liked about your program was you have 10 trading rules?
I have 10 trading rules and 7 forecasting rules, right?
So the trading rules keep it, keep your head in the game, if that's what you want to call it.
You and I actually have similar goals. So just like you were talking about in the last segment about trying to help people with the emotion that goes around their financial matters, trading, investing is such a emotional game that people get too excited or, too depressed or too elated. They don't let, they don't take a profit when they should, or they keep crossing their fingers and, hoping that things are going to turn around, and that doesn't really pan out in the long run. So actually, even as a conservative person that you are in your trainings, my method really, it sounds like meshes with what you're doing.
Absolutely. At no point should any person's entire portfolio be with a system like yours, keep it diversified among different asset classes. And just to give you an example of that, I took some of my profits and popped it into a nice business for my fiance. She does hair. If you want to check her out on Facebook, Little Miss Salon and Spa. She does great work. So it's just another way to diversify your portfolio.
I actually like that paradigm where, you know, mathematically people say, well, geez, you know, you take, I don't know, 10 grand, turn it to 20, 20 into 40, 40 into 80, keep doubling. I actually like what you did, that you create a good foundation, create a good base, you know, not necessarily in your case, but for instance, the guy was, Ralph Young was with us last week. He took some of his profit and paid off some credit card bills. Well, I love that. Now, you must too, given what you do.
Yes, sir.
So you started a business for your fiancée. By the way, congratulations. How long till the wedding?
August 4th, so.
Just a couple months.
Yes.
Coming up. Good for you. But I love when people pay down debt and then maybe, let's just say people have $40,000 and they turn it into 80. Well, you know, prepay a long-term care policy if they're, you know, older. Maybe they do it again, 40 into 80, and they take a bunch of money and pay off their cars. Well, I think it just changes the whole paradigm. I said in the first segment that Forbes says you need $2 million or more in order to live comfortably. But if you've got all your bills covered, and you've got a couple hundred thousand dollars now instead of $2 million, and maybe $200,000 off safe somewhere, but you have $100,000 you're trading, and if you can make $40,000 or $50,000 a year, you know, just in your investments, well, you know, you can get by when you don't have a lot of extra bills.
Right, that's a nice income without any of the fixed expenses that drag most households down.
Exactly. So sometimes you can, you know, the big question is, how is it that we're timing markets down to minutes? There are just two basic patterns that are in markets, and you can go to my website and see that on the presentation tab. The counterintuitive truth is that corn, a weather-based commodity, moves like gold, something that, you know, metals sitting in the ground. They have the exact same patterns in them. Last week we talked about how corrections work. Those are, you know, patterns of three. The pattern of strength is a pattern of five, and I show that on the website. Again, you can go to the presentation tab and kind of follow along with the things I'm talking about here. But it's bizarre how a whole economy, I predicted, I'm known for predicting the crash of September 11th. I did that using these patterns. I predicted what Japan's economy would do 10 years in advance using these patterns. So it doesn't matter if it's corn or wheat or soy meal. Grains move according to these patterns of fives and threes. So it'll start at a low number if we're having a bull run. It'll run up, and then it'll do a drop. And there's a couple reasons for that. Often it's just people taking profits. But what happens is it sets up that next move, which is the third wave is always the biggest, longest, strongest piece. Isn't that what you found, Trent?
Yes, sir.
Chris, can I hear an amen?
Absolutely.
So gold moves that way. Tin, aluminum, copper, platinum, palladium, all the metals do. And I've traded all the futures, coffee, cocoa, lumber, cotton. You know, they all move according to these patterns of fives and threes. In the website, I have a bond chart that moves this way. You know, you can see the pattern of five and what was the next one? The hog market. You know, the infamous pork bellies, you know, have the same thing in it. Currencies have this. And most of us will end up trading stocks. We're not, you know, most people don't want to trade futures. It's probably too risky, you know, for them until, you know, we'll call that level 400 in their training. I call this process the pattern of life because we see this over and over, and you probably see this in your relationships. Say you're just starting to date somebody. You know, you move forward, things are going along well, and then you pull back a little bit. Either life gets busy or maybe you're unsure or maybe you're just uncomfortable with how well things are going. Well, and then there might be a little spike because there's a pushback. And then, again, life just gets in the way. So at that point, it's either a crash where you say, "Yeah, this isn't going to work," or it sets you up for the good time to come. Chris, you and I have talked about this and other things. In fact, we've had experienced it a little bit already just preparing for the radio show where we did well to start, and then it went so well that we did less preparation.
Mm-hmm.
So
oh, yeah.
than it took, then we've kind of fallen back a little bit. So now we'll make a point of getting more prepared. So it happens in relationships. It happens in the way you prepare for radio shows. It happens with weight. Have you ever noticed when you start losing weight, you think, oh, I got this. So you stop doing the things that helped you start losing. And then what happens? And then you put it back on. So that's a rally. And then it sets you up so you learn the lesson. So in the tough times in life, often people kind of despair, like, oh, this is horrible. It's the pain. And, well, it's actually that pain that helps you reorient your life, make better choices, and help you move forward. And that sets you up for that that rich time to come. As Trent mentioned earlier, it's the third is always the longest, strongest. So you make it through that first. You learn some things in the pullback. Your career is probably like this, too. Have you ever been laid off or had a business failure? You know, there's a lot of millionaires out there who talk about they had to have a couple companies fail. So then it was the things that they learned what not to do that set them up for that biggest success in their life. And then from there, one of the things I like to harp on is hope, and another is humility. Sometimes our attitudes get too big when we are successful, and then there's a pullback, and that's, we call it a fourth wave. So during that fourth wave, again, you reorient and say, oh, I got, you know, I need to go back to doing the things that I was doing that was right. And then we finish our fifth. Either that or it's the momentum from the third that carries you right into the end. So we'll be right back with more after this. The music you're hearing is by Austin Young. He's a kind of a new phenom that I've stumbled across. Heard him play a couple times around Colorado. He's on the air with us. Austin, can you hear me?
Yep, I can. Thank you, Eric.
Awesome. I hear you have a CD release party coming up.
Yeah, it's happening actually tonight at the Little Bear in Evergreen.
What time is that?
It is 8 o'clock, and I believe there's a $6 cover charge, and yeah, we're really excited for it. We always have a lot of fun at the Little Bear. We always see a lot of good friends coming out, so we're really excited to get the new CD out there and start advertising it.
Well, I've already heard it, and I'm enjoying it a lot. Austin's interesting because you see this young guy and you think, this guy can't play this good. How old are you, Austin?
I'm 17.
You're 17. I think I heard your first when you were 16, and just you put on a great show. I love the Little Bear. It's a great venue for any concert. You can't get that. There's nowhere else in Colorado I know where you can be that up close and personal, you know, with the band and the stars.
Right. I agree. And similar to that, we're, you know, there's at the Little Bear, you can't really get closer to the audience as, you know, as musicians. So it's really, really fun to interplay with everybody and make sure everybody's involved and having a good time.
I saw you play a couple, a weekend two ago, and you were walking around the bar. I don't know if you can do that there. They don't have the clearance, I don't believe.
No, but I don't think so, but I definitely go up on the upper level at the Little Bear. That's always fun.
Oh, do you? That's fun.
Yeah.
So you got a remote guitar and you can carry it around with you. That's probably
not
the right term.
I'm not exactly the expert on the science behind it, but yeah, it's just I got a cord that lets me walk around wherever I want to and you know, just have fun with everybody.
Oh, that's cool. How'd you learn to play?
A lot of different ways. I learned to play by watching a lot. Stevie Ray Vaughan was my number one influence and still is. And just watching videos of him playing where his fingers were, you know, that helped me try to position my fingers, you know. And then my dad taught me basic chords and rhythms and blues scales and everything like that. And just went on from there. As I met different musicians in Colorado. They taught me different stuff, different styles, and I incorporated that into my playing, and it just kind of, you know, started from there.
Well, that's cool. Your bass player's dad, I was talking to, you know, during the show, and he said that, you know, a lot of your training came self-taught, so that's remarkable. Yeah, I've told people that if Stevie Ray Vaughan and Jimi Hendrix had a son, you'd be it.
That means a lot. Thank you.
No, I think you're awesome. Is Steamroller part of your repertoire?
I don't believe so, no.
Okay, that's a, who is that, James Taylor.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I that's kind of a personal favorite to me. I was going to threaten to come on stage with you if that was it. The psychologist who did my, post-divorce therapy said to get over yourself, you should do things you're uncomfortable with. And since I have no voice for singing, then I thought, well, that would be a good way to do it.
Yeah, man, we'll have to get you up sometime.
I'm not sure that's healthy, but anyway. So I think you guys are setting up probably close to 8 o'clock, and the band starts real close to 9. So at least that's what the Little Bear website has down.
Yeah.
So anyway, thank you, Austin, for coming on the show. So everybody, tonight, 9 o'clock, Evergreen, that's downtown, or it's Little Bear in downtown Evergreen. You just take I-70 West and head down Colorado Route 74, and you'll end up in Evergreen. So it's a fun time, and you'll love Austin if you love blues guitar.
Thanks, Eric. I look forward to it. I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, thanks for coming on the show. Before we go on with the continue of the segment, I wanted to just let brokers know out there, if you're a stockbroker, I'm looking for a couple guys to do some trading for some of my clients. Some of them have just gotten so busy that they don't, you know, they don't want to do the trading themselves, or they find it more intimidating than they anticipated. So, you know, love it if you look up market4caster.com and contact me there. Chris has got some ideas about the ebb and flow of markets that he wanted to share, but I also wanted to tell you about his business just a little bit. He's the owner of CompuStar, and it's a, you know, he helps people with their relationships with computers, but also just get rid of viruses. If it stops working or it's working quirky, he's a good guy to talk to. So anyway, Chris, how
Thank
do people
you.
Find you? Where can they contact you?
They can find me on my website at the CompuStarTech.com. It's CompuStarTech.com. Or you can reach me by phone. It's probably the best way, 970-744-5964.
Awesome. Thanks. So we've got an ebb and flow in life. There's ebb and flow in markets. Markets rise and fall. There's nothing static in nature. So it's weird that people think, oh, this is just going to continue on this trend forever, because nothing is ever static. Things are always moving up and down. Chris, tell us what you've seen.
That's a good way to put it, Eric. Nothing is static in nature. Everything's constantly moving up and down, and you have to pay attention constantly if you're going to make it. Take some traditional investing examples. You buy in, you stay in, old buy and hold philosophy, and forget it. Just let your investment advisors handle it, and you can...
So let's just jump back to Rome, for example. How did that
Good
work
example.
Out? You know, Spain, Greece, Portugal, they were all at the top. You know, nothing stays on top forever.
That's right. That's right. Whether it be politics, success in investing, business, life in general requires constant attention. And if you're not growing, you're dying. A good recent example in big business, Eric and I were talking about the other night, is good old Eastman Kodak. Global leader in photography for over a century, became blinded by success, basically. They invented the digital camera in the 70s, but they barely did anything with the technology. And then competitors, Fuji, Sony, HP, and others, they pretty much stole the market in digital photography. Now, I've known employees of Kodak at the plant in Windsor here in Colorado who said that they saw this coming years ago, but middle and upper management maintained that the need for photographic film would never die. And even when mainstream photographic film sales slid drastically, they kept saying that even then there'd always be a need for X-ray film. X-ray film's always going to be around, and digital X-ray machines just hitting the market were far too expensive. Well, obviously today, digital photography is the choice among amateurs and professionals alike, and we find more and more digital X-ray machines in doctors' offices. at more reasonable prices. And many Eastman Kodak plants are closed, including the one in Windsor. And it's not a stretch that the entire corporation that's been around for almost a century and a half will be out of business completely, probably in the next year or two.
So there's missed opportunity just by assuming that things are going to go up forever. I think
resting on your laurels, very dangerous.
So just looking at the S&P for the last decade kind of proves that. Since, 2000, the NASDAQ's been falling. They just thought it was going to go forever. No, it has to be substantive. You got to have companies that make money. And there's ups and downs. Like we just talked about, the third wave actually leads to a pullback.
Right.
So, but after that pullback, there's another high, and then what? Then it's a big turn, and I love America. I think we've got good years ahead of us, but I also keep in mind the chart of Japan. In December of 1989, they were at the top of their market, almost 40,000 yen, and then they've been falling ever since. It's actually known as a Kondratiev wave. It's something that was predictable. Take Apple. They got up to 700, and they finished this pattern of five that we just talked about. And then what? It turns. And these are called fractals. Think of a Russian nesting doll, how they're smaller and smaller versions. Go look at that pattern. Look at a chart of Apple. Go back 7 years. The call sign is AAPL. And you can see a big move up, a fall rally, fall down, and then a huge wave of progress. That's the third wave. It fell. It did a last spike, and that was the turn. So you see it with Apple. You see it in every stock, actually. So anyway, that's going to be it for this show. Loved having you here. Please tune in next week, and we're going to have more good stuff for you. Join me tonight to listen to Austin Young at Little Bear and Evergreen.
You've been listening to Investing in You with your hosts, Eric Demelli and Christopher Smith. Investing in You is a show dedicated to educating and informing the investing public. The ideas and opinions stated on the show are for informational purposes only. Investing in You, Eric Demelli, and Christopher Smith are not investment advisors or broker-dealers. We cannot and do not give investment advice. The stock market carries risks. You could lose some or all of your investment. We suggest you contact your personal investment representative or call Les Nansen to discuss suitability for your individual investment. Contact information for Les and all of our show sponsors is on market4caster.com. Thanks for listening.